Just in case Vinay plans to tell you any stories about my driving. He seems to talk about that a lot. I just want to tell you, I've ridden with Vinay in India, and he doesn't have a thing to say about me. Would you welcome my friend as Vinay Gaikwad comes to preach?
प्रभु येशू ख्रिस्ताच्या नावामध्ये सर्वांना सलाम. शुड आय ट्रस्ट यू? आय ग्रीट यू ऑल इन द नेम ऑफ अवर लॉर्ड जीसस क्राइस्ट. इट्स सो वंडरफुल टू बी इन दिस चर्च. फॉर लास्ट 25 इयर्स यू नो वी हॅव बीन गुड फ्रेंड्स अँड आय हॅव बीन कमिंग टू दिस चर्च सिन्स 91. When he was not a pastor of this church that time. And this church is so much involved in mission and supporting mission in India. And because of what you give, the work of the Lord goes on. When I see these kids giving for the mission and pastor's kid, my heart breaks. Many years ago, missionaries, they sacrifice, they deny themselves, they came to India to share the love of Christ. And because of that, I'm standing in front of you. Because they brought gospel, good news to India. I'm sorry. I'm not, I don't want you to move into some kind of emotions. But this morning, my heart is filled with joy and happiness. Because one day in my life, even though I was born in country, I found the Lord. Your love, your giving towards the mission, your concern, your prayer support means so much to us. That word quotes. My word could ever be expressed. And I just want to thank you. I thank the pastors for having me. I thank the church board for giving me this opportunity to come in your midst and share the word of God or what the Lord is doing in India. This world, when I look around, this world is suffering a lot of pain, a lot of grief and sorrow and suffering in all midst of this. There is one hope for you and for me, and that is Jesus Christ. And so he is my in my heart. He has given me joy and blessings and happiness. So it is our responsibility to reach out to these people, those who are still in darkness. I see around and I see a lot of problems. When I see around, I see a lot of people suffering and going through difficult time. But at the same time, I praise God that this is all going to end one day. And we will be with Jesus forever. There will be no grief. There will be no tears. There will be no suffering. And that is everlasting life. To give that life to us, Jesus Christ came on this earth. And he died for us to give us that everlasting life. And this morning, my heart is overwhelming. And there is gratitude and happiness and joy. You see these tears, not of any grief, but joy. I don't know what can happen tomorrow. I don't know how much life I have. But I know one thing. If I die tonight, I will be with Jesus. This morning I would like to share some of from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Chapter 28. The Great Commission, which we have very well known this passage for a long time, maybe since we were Christian, or maybe when, you know, as we grew up in church, the scripture is very familiar to all of us. But this morning I would like to read again and maybe talk from this passage for a while. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of our Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, from a little serious mood, I would like to share, you know, one joke with you, which I always like. There was a pastor, and there was one just a layperson from that church. The member of that church died and went to heaven. And then pastor also died and went to heaven. But pastor was very upset with God. And because his church member had a higher place in heaven. And he was upset. And he said, "God, all the years, you know, I served you in the church. I preach you and, you know, I help people. And I serve you. And how come this guy from my church, he was a simple member, now he has a higher place in heaven? How that is?" And the God explained to him, it was very simple. He said, well, your church member, he was a driver. And when he drove, people prayed. And when you preach, people slept. So our pastor, he is a pastor and he is a driver too. But his driving, you know, when he drives, I really do pray. And I pray a little something like this, God, yes, I know, I'm going to die one day, but help me not to die today. He may be telling you a lot of stories about India and Indian traffic and my driving, but, you know, you ask me in private, I will tell you, don't trust this pipe. I'm just kidding. One day, some kids were playing, and, you know, they were of the age of 5 to 10, you know, years. And they were playing, and they had some argument going on, and they were gathered, and in circle, they were talking and fighting something. And then the pastor was just walking by. And pastor said, guys, what are you doing here? And they said, well, pastor, we have found one dog, puppy dog. And we all want that dog. It's a so cute dog. But we don't know how to, you know. But then we decided, whoever tells the biggest lie can have the dog. And pastor, he was upset, and he said, guys, you cannot do this, you know. We are Christian people, and we don't lie, and Bible tells us this and that. And then at the final, he said, when I was of your age, I never lied. And there was a silent for a moment, and one of that guys said, pastor, you can have the puppy. Mission. We always talk about mission. We always hear about mission. We always read mission book. But is that all mission supposed to be or should be? We all know that mission and missionaries and their work. When I already said in the beginning that when He is in our heart, we have assurance of everlasting life. And when He is in our heart, we cannot sit quiet and do nothing. Mission is in Jerusalem. And that Jerusalem is Mifflinburg, Judea, Samaria, and end of the earth. Our mission is not necessarily mean that we have to go to India, to a foreign country, and be a missionary. We can be a missionary right here in this town. As I was studying the scripture that we read from Matthew chapter 28, we have a divine calling. And that is to go. And verbally it means, I have studied that, verbally it means that as you go, preach, teach, whoever comes in your contact, to them that Christ should be seen in your life. When I go out in public or a different place, what people see in my life? Do they see myself, or do they see something else, or they see Christ in my life? That simply means that our mission means that is our lifestyle. Whenever we go, wherever we go, the Christ should be seen from our life. When I go, physically people see me and say, Vinay, yeah, that is true. But Beyond that, people, those who do not know me or do not know Jesus, when they come in my contact, they should see Christ in my life. The way we talk, the way we do business, the way we live our life. And that should be a transparent life. And that is what the Bible tells us, to live a holy life. And that is the command. As I am holy, be you also holy. So that's the commandment. And this mission is a lifestyle. As you go, you preach, you teach, you love, you share, you show your concern, you pray. That is our mission. No matter where you go. And so this passage that we just read, that we have a divine calling from God, go. It involves our lifestyle. Like salt, you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. And so forth and so on. Let your light be shine upon people, so they can see good deeds and praise God. Many times we want to see our good deeds and praise ourselves. We expect that. I don't know here, but in India, people love that somebody praises them, or somebody announces their name from pulpit, or on say good things about them. We do not do all of that just for the sake of that. But we do because it has been told to us. And the teller is Jesus. Go and preach. Go and preach. We have one God and we are children of one God. And so children, they do not look alike exactly. Like I call Pastor Wayne as my brother. We look different. We dress different. We eat different food. We speak different language. But yet we are one in Jesus Christ. Because we have one God. One purpose. One mission. One goal. To go and preach. And that oneness has come to us through Jesus Christ. In the midst of diversity, there is a unity. And because of that unity, we can reach the people no matter where. In India, in Japan, Pakistan, wherever. Because we are one and we are on one level before God. There is no partiality. There is no racism. But we are one in Jesus. We have a divine message. And then in verse 20, as we see there, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We have to teach what He has commanded us to do. Back in India, I have shared this last time I was here, that one Hindu lady came to Jesus and I baptized her in my church a couple years ago, I think less than that. Now when she accepted Jesus Christ and as she baptized in our church, there was a problem in her family. A lot of argument and fighting and discomfort. Unhealthy relationship. Her husband was so mad and upset because she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal savior. So she shared with me and my wife and asked us to pray. And the church was praying for her, and we were praying for her and her husband. A couple months ago we visited this family, and her husband asked many questions. Many questions. And he said, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe in any God. And when we were leaving, we assured him of our prayers. We will be praying. He said, well, okay. Now, to make a long story short, Last couple weeks ago, when I was I got here, I shared with the pastor that while I was talking to my wife, she told me this husband and wife had visited our house, and her husband, his name is Girish. Her husband accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Praise the Lord. Many good things happen when pastor is not home. Right? And I praise God. And, you know, even though I was born in a country like India, there is all idol worship, Hinduism, Buddhism, Muslim peoples are there also. In all of that, I'm so grateful to tell you that one day Jesus came in my life and changed my life. That is the very important thing for me. There is nothing else that I should be boasting about my country or my system. When I come to America and when I see everything so nice and so beautiful and so organized and everything, and when I look back to my country, there is only one thing I can tell you that about my country, that even though I was born in a country like India, I came to Jesus Christ, and that is the greatest thing in my life. When I was in seminary, many people were saying that, okay, Vinay, you like here, probably you would like to stay here for the rest of your life, and we will help you and all that. And I was praying, God, you have called me for your ministry. Please help me not to put my mind and heart in here. Take me back to my country. They need me. Because in India, new missionaries are not allowed anymore. New missionaries, if you want to apply and if you put the missionaries, they will not give you visa. So there is no Indian missionaries, American missionaries in India. But we, as a national, we had to stand up on our own feet and carry the torch. Because this responsibility is not only American people to become a missionary and come to my country and tell about Jesus Christ. This responsibility is given to all of the believers who claim to be Christian. It is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to go and preach the gospel. Many people... When I was in seminary, I was single, and most of my classmates were married. They were trying to fix me. They would say, Vinay, there is one girl, maybe you should ask her out. Maybe there is another girl, you should ask her out, and all that. And see, you know, I like white skin. Anybody coming from India, they love white skin. They love white people. You know, when in India, you would see many people, you know, they put a lot of cream and nice, they want to look white. And powder and cream and lotion and all signed up. And they especially ladies, they like to look fair color. When I come to America, you people like to become a tan like me. Never satisfied. Never satisfied. What God has given you, we want to have something different, not satisfied. So this is the way. And I was praying, God, I know you have a very special person for me, and I want to go back and minister to my people. If I'm married to an American, I might not go. So help me, Lord. And I was praying. I stayed almost 7 years in Kansas City. Well, I had good friends. I wouldn't call them as my girlfriend or, I wasn't dating them. But we had a good friend. But I know deep down in my heart, I'm not staying here. I should not get involved with anybody here because I want to go back. And I was praying, Lord, give me somebody who would understand the ministry, who is committed, who would help me in my ministry. I was praying every day. And there was one girl, young girl, who was so committed, and she was praying, God, give me a husband who is a pastor. To make a long story short, God brought us together in a very special way. We got married in 94. Now I have two sons. Vipul is 17 and Jeevan is 14 years old. And you will see in the picture, that picture is a little old. I think 3 to 4 years ago this picture was taken. I look the same, I think. And I'm so blessed by my wife and her commitment in the ministry. When she became a Christian, so far in her last 12 years journey, Christian journey, she has read Bible 27 times, the whole Bible. And still every day, every night, before go to bed, she would read 4 chapters, 2 chapters from Old Testament and 2 chapters from New Testament. No matter how many times she has read the Bible. And so, she is my living concordance. Sometimes I ask her, Joe, where is this? Do you know? And she tells me, okay, go and look in Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, and here it is, right? How she knows all this? Because she reads her Bible every day. It doesn't mean that I don't read. I also read, but you know, she reads 4 chapters a day, every day. No matter whether it's Saturday or Sunday or Monday, she reads it. And I learn from her. And she is a very dedicated woman. Monday she goes out for NMI meeting. In different location we have house meetings. Friday she goes in different location for the meeting. Wednesday we have Wednesday night meeting at church. Tuesday she goes to orphanage. We have orphan ministries. Then Saturday she goes to different slum areas. And all day she goes, and along with her there are few people from my church. And this is how she's involved in the ministry. The reason I'm telling you that you should know, you know, a little bit of my background, why, where I am coming from. And I have a lot of things to share. I could go on and on, but time is given to me about 10:15. I can preach till 10:15. One time there was a guest speaker in the church, and he asked the pastor, how much time do I have? And pastor said, you can preach as long as you want, but 10 o'clock our people will go home. So today is my last day here. Right after church I'm leaving, but if you would like to know more, I'm willing to come back. We have divine message to go. We have divine mission. We have divine mission. Acts chapter 1 and 8. But you will receive the power of Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the very end of the earth, and I will be with you. Praise the Lord. We are not alone. We are not alone. I do not know here, but in India, a lot of difficulties to share Jesus. Many times persecution. Many times opposition. And we are not alone. Jesus is with us. Few years ago, our Jesus teams were beaten by some village people because they didn't want to hear about Jesus. Two of our other pastors were, while they were sharing Jesus with other people, they were also persecuted, abused and beaten. I have shared this story, I don't remember, but in one area which is in South India, pastor was beaten twice. And his dears told him to maybe try one more time and go. We want to start a church there. The pastor was very obedient and he went back in that area to do the evangelism. But before he went there the third time, the group of people who beat the pastor, his mother, the leader of that group, his mother got sick. And somebody told him that because you beat the pastor, see what God has done to your mom. And he said, is that so? If that is the case, then how? What should I do? And that man told that man to find that man again and ask him to come and pray for your mom. And he said, well, I don't have his phone number, I don't have his address, how and where can I find him? And that man told him, maybe that pastor will come back again. And after a couple of weeks, that pastor came back because they wanted to start a church there. And then this man went to him and he said, well, you sit behind my motorcycle and you come with me. This pastor, he thought that this man is going to kill me now. And he was praying, Lord, help me. And this man took him, this pastor, to his house. And he said, now, I want you to pray for my mom. My mom has been sick for last few weeks. I don't know what happened. She was not able to talk. She was not able to get up from her bed. And so this pastor knelt down and he started praying. And prayer was finished over. And then his mom, she started talking. She opened her eyes. She sat down on the bed. And she said, who is this man in our house? Because of his prayer, I am healed. And that man who beat the pastor twice before, he felt as his feet crying and apologizing him. Pastor, sorry, your God is a living God. I sense that. And he was apologizing that pastor. And he said, pastor, from next Sunday, you're not going to come there and, don't evangelize outside. And don't have your worship service outside, but you are going to have worship service in my own house. Now, the worship service started in his house. To make a long story short, that man who had beaten that pastor twice, who was against Christianity, who didn't want to hear about Jesus Christ, accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And the whole family came to Jesus Christ. And now, in that place, there is the Church of the Nazarene. In South India. Because somebody was ready to take that beating. Somebody was ready to suffer for Jesus. Somebody was ready to deny himself and obey God. And he did, and because of his dedication, there is the church now. The whole family and all other people, Hindu people, came to Jesus Christ. In my church, when I started in 93, we were having 129 members in the church. Now, I'm very happy to share that now we are having 750 members in our church. Not all of came from Hindu background, but there are few people, those who accepted Jesus Christ from different background. There are some Buddhists in my family. There are some other Hindu families, those who came to Jesus Christ. In last 5 years, I have baptized 25 non-Christian people in my church. The Lord is at work. And I appreciate your prayer, your support, your financial support, and what you do for mission, you do for Jesus. Whatever you give for God. You give for mission, because I already said that we are one in Jesus Christ. And we have one Father and one mission and one task to do. All what we do is, we do what is natural for Christian people to do. And the natural thing is to go and preach. And God will do supernatural, natural. We do what is possible for us to do, and God will do impossible for us to do. We do our part, and God will do His part. God's people give for God's work. God's people help build God's kingdom. We did not bring anything in this world, and we will not take anything from here. Whatever we do here, we store up our treasure in heaven. In order to store up our treasure in heaven, we have to help needy. We have to help those who are suffering. We have to help and support God's ministry. We have to support and help our brothers and our sisters around the world. There was a pig and a chicken. They were traveling. While they were traveling, they saw a board in front of church, and that sign said, "Feed the poor if you can and donate." And the chicken said to pig, "Let's give these poor people breakfast." And pig said, "Yes, we should. What should we give?" Chicken said, "Well, I think we should give egg and ham." And the pig said, "Well, to give an egg to feed the people, that is your contribution. But to give them ham, I will have to sacrifice my life." This morning, God wants our life. Contribution is okay, but first of all, He wants our life, our commitment, our dedication, so that He can take that. Whatever He takes in His hand, He gives shape. And whatever He gives shape, He fills that pot. And whatever He fills, He uses it for His glory, for His ministry. Are you ready to dedicate your life, to commit yourself for the ministry and for the mission? I know you have given your life to Jesus, but I want you to think about that this morning once again, in a new way, of having a new insight to your life. You maybe not, you might not have thought about it, but this morning I want you to think about it. Rededicate your life for mission, because it is our responsibility. It is this word tells us to go and to do, not me. And I know many of you are involved. This church is involved. Your pastor is involved. He has come and visited our church maybe 7-8 months ago or something like that. And he had brought a lot of photos. And so we want to go and see a few photos here, even though you have seen it. I would like to go through that rather quick, because we do not have much time. So we will see the slides. This is our congregation. One side, the men sit. The other side, women sit. And you can see these people are very sitting very close to each other. Next, please. And one side is all ladies' seat. So some people ask me why it is like that. So I told them that, you know, when we sit so close to each other, ladies don't feel very comfortable sitting with another man so close. So we separate them so that we can put more people in the church. Sunday attendance is near about 300, 350 people. But we do not want two services. We want one service. That's how we just try to accommodate everybody in that buildings. Next, please. These women are maybe from a village. Very simple. You can see that they are sitting on the floor. Maybe they were, I don't remember exactly, but I can see that Bible in front of that lady, and maybe they have finished Bible study there or something. Next. These two ladies are wives of our pastors, two pastors. They were sitting outside the church after the church service. And Pastor Wayne took picture. Next. This is from the street. He's a handicapped person begging. In India, you can see a lot of beggars on the street. Next. This is a Muslim girl from school, my son's school. Pastor Wayne was in the school and he took this picture. Next. There is three guys from my church. They are not supposed to ride three in the bike, on the bike, but still they are doing it. He saw five people on the bike, maybe even six. Okay, next. This is from a village. Very simple people. They do not have TV, no phone. Nothing fancy furniture in the house. Very, very poor people. That blue thing there in the left corner, that is a water container. They store their water. Next. No washing machine. So this lady is washing her clothes outside. Next. In this village, they have only one well for water. They do not have running water in the house. So they had to come to this public place to get water. And they had to make several trips, carry that water on their head to get water. Next, please. This lady is carrying water. I would guess maybe 50 to 60 pounds. In her left hand, there is a small bucket also she is carrying. And she, this lady, we have dug the well in front of their house, and this church has supported for that. And I thank you. I thank you for doing that. I will tell a little bit more. this church has donated quite a bit money to dig the well in villages wherever there is a need, I'm working on that. And when you get into that, you find out that there is a lot of things that is involved. Yeah, nowadays, you have to take permission from the government to dig the well because we have water problem. They want to know where we are going to supply this water, for what purpose we are giving, who is going to come and get water, and so forth and so on. So we had to get the permission. Then we had to book the machine to come and dig the well. So it takes a lot of time to, you know. And as being a pastor of this church, which is quite a big church, and then district superintendent, I had to, you know, find a separate time to do all of these things. But now, when I go back, I'm going to work hard on this project, and I will let you know how this project is running, and I will send some pictures to Pastor, because a lot of people are curious to know we gave and what happened. And so we dig the one well, we got the water, Because surrounding there was no water. Many Hindu people, they said, well, no use of digging well there. But we had a prayer meeting there. We prayed and we started digging the well. In half an hour, the water was coming like a spring water. And this is our also witness to other people. And this is how we could share Jesus to other people. This lady, now she doesn't need to go and get water from 2 kilometers. Every day she was going 2 kilometers to get water, and she would make several trips. Next. See, poor people in village, this is how they travel. It is taken in one church after the church service. Okay, this is another small house, I would say, small hut, cottage. And this is how these people stay there for a while. And when they get a job, they come and build this house for a few months, and they move to different town or different place and build the same house again. Every day they go to work, and they work hard and they get paid. And when they come home, they buy food, they cook, and they eat. That's all they have, nothing else for the next day. So next day the same thing they do. Next, please. This is from one church. It was a worship service, and Pastor Wayne was with me. And this small girl there, standing near that drum, she is doing dance on one song. Next. This is how, same church, they have a small building there. They sit on the floor. This is the place where we are going to build the church, and this foundation is, where they are building foundation. And when I go back, I'm assuming that within next 6 months we will have, maybe 6 months or a year, we will have this building. Next, this is one of our pastors. Last time when I was here, one man, he donated for a motorcycle, and so we could buy 10 motorcycles for our pastors, so they can go and do evangelism where there is no transportation. And the pastors, they go on this motorcycle and they evangelize, and this is how they contact other people from different village or towns. Next. This is the same church, and that you can see that bell there. And Pastor Wayne Krull hit that bell twice with his head. I don't know what he was trying to do, but that bell is there. So in the morning, Sunday morning, pastor ring the bell, and people know that it's time to go to church, and they come to church. Next. And this is our small vehicle, but you can see how many people are sitting in that vehicle. Maybe if it was in America, maybe 4 people will sit, not more than 4. But in India, you can sit 8 people and still they are happy. Okay, next. This is our pastor's meeting. Every month, first week of the month, we have pastors get together. Next. Pastor and his wife. Next. This woman were sitting there, and they do not have much, very small, 10 by 8 room. And she's preparing tea for us. Next. This is another pastor, a young pastor, and I'm handing over the key for this motorcycle. So there are 8 more pastors. They are waiting for new motorcycle that they also want to have it for the ministry. So thank you very much for listening to me, my Indian accent, my broken English, and I request you to pray for me and my ministry, my district, and my pastors, and I will also pray for you. God bless you all. Thank you.
What a joy to have my friend and our friend, your friend. You've known him as long as I have, many of you, today. I invite our ushers to come and receive an offering that will go to help in the work in India. And if God gives it the ability to do that, and you would like to today to give toward the meeting of needs, these motorbikes and other things that Vinay is involved with, just invite you to give as you're able to. Father, thank you again for Pastor Vinay. Thank you for the body of Christ around the world, and pray you would continue to bless them and guide them and be with Vinay and Joshna and their family as they minister for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm not very expert, but I would just like to play. If I, you know, make a mistake, just bear with me. Thank you.